Welcome back to the Feeble Minded Podcast. Hope everyone enjoyed the holidays, had a happy new year. Quick announcement before we get started. I'm going to be changing the name of the podcast to the Keep Pushing Podcast. I think it just aligns more with the direction I'm going, you know, having skated across America, sobriety, all that stuff. I think it just makes a little more sense. So next episode going forward is going to be called the Keep Pushing Podcast. And today I'm going to be talking about my journey through YouTube, how I got into it, everything I learned, what my intentions were. I've gotten a lot of questions about this over the years, so I'm just going to try to lay out everything like from the beginning till, you know, kind of where I'm at now. So first thing is, when I started, I knew nothing about YouTube, nothing at all. So if anyone comes to me with an excuse, I have like almost no sympathy at all, just because I didn't use any social media whatsoever. I was just, you know, I was against all of it. Didn't use a cell phone. I would just borrow people's to make phone calls. So I was completely out of the loop. Occasionally, I'd use YouTube to watch skate videos here and there. But you know, other than that, I had no knowledge of anything. So when I started, I honestly didn't even know where to start. I was just like, all right, well, I've heard iPhones have pretty good cameras, so let me just try to get one of those. Did research, eventually ended up at a Sprint store where I found out I could rent a phone for, I don't know, was it like $30 a month or something like that? Which was, you know, didn't sound that crazy. You know, I had no money. I was actually $10,000 in debt from my second DWI. So I literally had no money, but of course you always have something like coming in, or you pick up a job here or there. So that seemed reasonable. Like, I can pay $30 a month no matter what my situation. I can pay that, you know. Plus, of course, the cost of a phone bill, whatever minimum that is. At the time, it was actually much cheaper, because I think, I don't know, just the way everything was, it was much cheaper for like a basic thing, or you could even pay for minutes. But started with that, and it was such an uphill battle. I never used iMovie before. You know, I was just like, every day was this huge hill to climb. Just so frustrating. Like, even if I filmed something, right? So I had to figure out how to film. I get a tripod, so I'm researching stuff and ordering stuff. You know, not that much, really. Just like the bare minimum. A phone clip, tripod, go to the skate park, try to film, come back, look at the footage. You know, whatever, you get better in time. But like, the hard part was really the editing, because I knew nothing. So just like every movement, I would hit Google or YouTube. How to edit a video, how to upload a video into the platform, like how to overlap a trick over the talking, like just everything. And that's one of the most important parts of doing anything. And I was like adapting the internet. When I switched from not using the internet to embracing it, that's exactly what I did. I was like, all right, I'm going to use this as a tool. So every question I had, I just went to Google and YouTube and could figure out anything. Yeah, it was frustrating. Yeah, it took time, but I just became obsessed. And because I never used YouTube like for consumption or like Instagram and all that stuff, I wasn't like slowly getting addicted to it. So I just used YouTube as a tool and Google, like straight up, just like only went on it, straight up searching things. I didn't get really suggested things. It was just like, you know, how to edit this video. That's it. So being able to use it only as a tool, it's much more helpful now compared to nowadays. After 7 years of using it, being on my phone all the time, I understand how it could like suck you in and distract you. And every day I'm like fighting that off. I have to make sure I wake up and like don't use my phone in that way, you know, just because it could like just suck you in. So, you know, using it as a strictly as a search tool, that really helped. Being disconnected from it helped. It also helped in terms of just what I was creating, because I didn't understand people would judge you, or like everyone was saying stuff. I was so far out of the skateboarding loop at that point. I hadn't watched videos. I hadn't, you know, been online. So nothing affected me. I just was in my own world. Just like, yeah, I'm going to make YouTube videos. Cool. I didn't care like there was a stigma around it or anything like that. So that was on my side. That was in my favor. I could definitely understand nowadays it's definitely like intimidating, or can be, to upload a video. But luckily, I was just so, I guess you'd say, ignorant towards it. I just had no idea it existed. So that might be a good thing to try, you know, like if you're having trouble getting into it, maybe take a break from social media, kind of refresh yourself. That could help. Just like look at it with fresh eyes and not be so worried about the opinions of others. And, you know, because when you're on the internet, you're not just watching the videos, you're looking through the comments, and that's making subtle impressions on you all the time. So, you know, starting from that point, I think worked in my favor. And, you know, I looked at it as I'm going to solve a problem. That's really was like my main goal. I'm going to pick something I know I would like to see, right? And for me, that was, I would look up trick tip videos and they would just be like, you go up and you come back down, and that was it. It seemed like they were just made by a brand to get views. I've talked about this before, you know, and I don't, you know, fault any of them for it. It's just, yeah, they're just making videos and, you know, but I wanted something more. And I remember watching them when I was a kid and like really young, and I loved them. I thought it was the coolest thing when it was so in depth. And also my father was a teacher, so I just kind of liked the idea of teaching. So my focus was, I'm going to give back. I'm going to fill this hole in the market. No one's really teaching mini ramp videos. Maybe there was trick tips on like rails or trick, like flat ground tricks, but the mini ramp seemed like there was a big hole there. So I thought about it in terms of like Google's this big, I don't know what you call it, like a algorithm supercomputer, just looking for every bit of information it could swallow, and it needs to serve everyone. Everyone's searching something all over the world. So I want to take, you know, be my part in that encyclopedia and fill it in with what it needs. So that's literally how I thought about it. And I'm just like, I'm going to fill in every slot in the mini ramp domain, you know? So I went through like rock fakey, feeble fakey, like every single skate trick I went through, and I was just super excited about it. Like, so it wasn't only just to fill in the void. I was excited to document in order, like every trick I've ever learned, and like, you know, just make a nice clean encyclopedia for it, you know? So that, just that idea as a whole really motivated me to start, kept me going. Every day I had a new video to film. I was excited to film it. And I didn't really realize that focusing on the smaller tricks, those aren't like huge videos that everyone would view, right? But there's a specific group of people that are searching for that, need that information, and you're serving them, you're helping them. So like, yeah, they'll throw you a subscribe or here or there, you know? So I built literally from the ground up, one trick at a time, just like compounding on it. So, you know, I'm sure there's faster ways to grow, but my concern was never really to grow fast. Like, I always wanted to just do something meaningful to me, like just what got me psyched, what I felt good about doing in the world. You know, it was never just about getting clicks. So, you know, as I did all the tricks, it kind of led me, you know, getting more difficult. I'm running out of tricks. Then it was like, all right, I'm just going to cover straight up mini ramp as I was getting more views. And I was surprised I was getting more views. And one of the main things that surprised me was I thought I was making trick tips for kids, like, you know, 8 years old, 10 years old, stuff like that. And it ended up being old people my age, you know, 40s, 50s, like people getting into skating. And that completely blew my mind. Like, I wasn't really on the internet. So that just whole world, just that completely shocked me that was even possible. And then I realized, oh, it makes sense. Like, someone like me is watching my videos, like that wants to learn. And, you know, so point is you'll never know who you might be serving or who it could help. You know, so you just got to keep an open mind to it and like kind of roll with the punches. But yeah, covered every phrase, went from small to big, started doing mini ramps, and definitely started growing more. You know, doing general videos like how to skate mini ramp like a pro, stuff like that definitely expanded my audience. But again, wasn't focused on that. As I was getting views with that, and I did this series called New Trick Every Day for a Month. I don't think there's anything like less viewable. You know, like if you don't skate and you're not like a really core skateboarder, there's no way you're clicking that. And I'm not making like crazy thumbnails or anything. So it's just like, you know, I'm just making these videos for myself. Getting views is like pretty much the last thing for my mind. I'm waking up, going to work, grinding it out, you know, just making a couple of bucks here and there, racing home to beat, you know, the sun going down, and just filming a video, learning a new trick, documenting it. I'm filming with the phone, learning how to do it in front of people. And then every night, I'm uploading a video. So I'm just continuing to master my craft over time. And that's what I learned from doing all these challenges, the 50 States Challenge, the Skate Across America, was I'm just sharpening this tool. You got to upload a video 30 days in a row. How am I not going to get better? So I went from literally never using the internet to within a month or so, I could daily vlog. I'm like passing people that have probably been doing YouTube for a while, you know, and that restriction kind of forced me to figure things out. And yeah, I'm not doing the fanciest editing, but yeah, I was learning a lot, getting better, getting my techniques cleaner, and over time learning to tighten my videos and understanding what people might want to see and being conscious of everyone's time. That's one of the main things I always thought about. You know, like when I made my trick tip videos, I could have probably beefed them up 10 minutes, 20 minutes, like, and I didn't realize people did that just to get views, like, and more watch time. You know, I was just thinking in my head, I want to go on and learn what I want as fast as possible. I don't want to be sitting there searching through the video 15 minutes, like getting sucked into it. No, I just want the information clear as day. So when I made my trick tips, I made it how I wanted to see it, which is my advice to anyone doing anything. Like make something you would want to watch. Like what do you wish was there and how do you want to see it? You know, I cut everything so like just down to the matter of fact, 3 minute long, 2 minute long trick tips, jam packed with like the best information I could put in there. So I think that like being aware of the viewer's time helped, you know, it helped people appreciate what I was doing and throw me a subscribe. And that kind of helped grow the channel over time. Another way I thought about YouTube was like, growth was the last thing in terms of like numbers or making a living. Like maybe in the vague part of my mind, it was like, yeah, this something could happen from it. That's cool. But that wasn't the focus. And like, I wasn't thinking, I didn't even know you really could make money on it. You know, all I wanted to do was grow as a person. So I used YouTube as a tool to face all of these things about myself, face yourself in front of the camera. Like, am I scared to talk in front of people? Work on my voice. I used to mumble a lot. I'm still working on it, you know, and like using it as a tool to grow. That was my main thing. So that takes away a lot of the pressure, right? Because if you're just trying to grow, it doesn't matter if you get views or not. You're just getting better and being yourself. That's the most important part. I'm not sitting there trying to uphold like a personality or like something. It's just being myself. If you're just frank, normal, doing your thing and documenting it, at the end of the day, maybe you won't grow fast, but there's not this built-in pressure over time of you having to like uphold this thing. It's just like, yeah, this is what I'm doing. Going on a skate trip to California. I'm filming at my local park. I'm learning the trick. You know, so if you build around that, it might be slower, but in the long term, your audience will know what to expect and it'll be easier to kind of, I don't know, last, I guess you'd say. But yeah, talking to the phone, one of the hardest things to do when you first start YouTube. And that's what I've seen deter a lot of people. They pick it up or they've tried it and they just go, I could never look at myself talking. It's too painful. You're not unique. Just about every person I've ever met, including myself, has done that. It's just a muscle you need to break in. And it's great. It's like liberating. You keep doing it and you break through it and you edit it every day. I'm looking at myself and all my flaws. It's painful. That's why people want to avoid it. But by facing it, you're just sharpening yourself. You're just cutting out, like, you know, I say like and all the time, which I still do, but I've gotten much, much better. I pronounce my words better. I speak with a little more confidence. All these things came from constantly being in front of the camera and just going down that path. So, you know, just know it's going to feel awkward and trust it. Keep powering through. And, you know, a month, a year later, you'll look back and be like, you know, amazed by how much you grew. So don't let that deter you. Okay, next thing I got written down here is don't ask for anything, right? And I don't know if I fully back this, but this is like the mindset I've basically always had. I don't ask for handouts. I don't ask for people to post me and put them in a weird spot. And, you know, I never really ask for subs. It's been like 7 years. Occasionally I've written like support the channel, subscribe or something in a comment. But for the most part, I've basically never, ever asked someone to subscribe. Like 2 giveaways, 3 giveaways throughout the whole time I've done it. Maybe I have, but like for the most part, I just do what I'm doing. If you like it, you'll subscribe. I'm not going to tell you to do it or ask you to do it. I've learned over time, it's good to not be like ashamed of asking. Like it's just a matter of fact. Like some people need a reminder, you know, or like don't realize it could help you out. Some people just go on, they watch it, they don't subscribe to anyone. So it can't hurt to bring it up. I've learned that. But the lesson overall is like I've had people right from scratch showing like they haven't shown that they're going to do a long-term channel and they just want me to use everything I've built to give them a shout out and basically leapfrog them. And I don't know, I've always looked at life as like all those valuable lessons you're just going to skip. And you're kind of going to like fall down the ladder or like miss things. You really, I don't know, like all those lessons are the important part. And like climbing up and learning and like dealing with everything, it integrates into your character. So I never saw the value in like skipping things and getting like all these subs for no reason. I kind of wanted to earn everything myself. So I think that's a good mindset to embrace. It's okay to ask and, you know, if it's reasonable, but I think just, you know, take responsibility for things and try to just grow it yourself and let people, if they want to support you, support. So back to like creating videos, I was not thinking about views. I know I just said that, not thinking about them at all. I was doing this vlog called Chork Saturdays. Looking back, no one knows what the word chork means. Like, I don't even know that. Like, it's a funny word my friends came up with. They have a brand. When I first started, we'd all go skate, make videos. And that was fun. And I learned how to vlog. And I wasn't thinking about the format. So, you know, I only bring that up because it's easy to put pressure on yourself and thinking you should have this fully formed idea in the beginning. Like, that's not the important part. The important part is just making videos any way you can, and you'll continue to grow. You know, you'll learn the techniques. You'll learn what works in time. So just make stuff. Keep sharpening your tool. And then the last thing I'm going to leave you guys with is I just thought of YouTube as helping. I don't know if that'll work for everyone. I know everyone has a different mindset, but I wanted it to be this selfless thing. Like, I'm giving all my knowledge away. Anything I've learned, I want to give back. I want to help make life easier for people. This podcast, that's the reason behind it. It's just to share, continue to grow myself, and try to help people grow in the process, you know? But when you do things through that lens, life just becomes easier. People want to help you more. You help yourself more. I don't know. It shapes your reality when you do things selflessly as opposed to when you do them selfishly. When you do it selfishly, it almost like, I don't know, it makes it easy for things to like have a negative connotation you know, or even in the background or have these like different motives when you're doing it purely to help someone. And I've found only great things come back from that. And that's a tough thing to do in itself, and a good lesson just to practice doing things selflessly. I would give away things that were meaningful to me. These are all good lessons and help embody, like, I don't know, just better characteristics, in my opinion. It can be tough. It could definitely be tough in the beginning to like learn that, but, and to do things completely selflessly. Like, you can do it. Yeah, I'm helping this guy out, but really you're doing it for yourself. Like, sometimes maybe you'll see a business donate. Like, are they really doing it, or are they just hopping on a trend to get more views and have people support them? And, you know, it's, I don't know. I tried not to keep thinking that way and going down those rabbit holes. Try to just guide my own actions, not think what others are doing. But it's something to consider. And if you keep just doing the motion, keep giving, eventually it'll just become second nature and you won't even question if it's for other people. It'll just be, you know, before you even thought of it, you'll pick up something someone dropped and help them out. So that was something I learned over time and just kept doing. And now I don't even think about it. Like, I'm just trying to get skate parks built and doing everything I can, not thinking about it. It's just second nature. So, yeah, hope that helped some of you guys out. Helped me along my journey, learning all those things and going through it. So figure I'll share it with you guys. Yeah, leave a comment of another topic or something else you guys would like to hear about if you found this helpful. And yeah, I'll see you guys in the next podcast.